Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I've been saying it for some time. Oregon State's fun to watch on offense. Jake Luton, Artavis Pierce, Isaiah Hodgins. But are we talking enough about the offensive line? Is your offensive line just killing it right now? Jonathan Smith joining me, Oregon State football coach.
Yeah, we were definitely pleased with the O-line, especially last week. I thought they protected Jake really well. We ran the ball. Yeah, so after last weekend, we feel like we've really made some strides, and they played lights out, in my opinion, after watching the tape. Like I'm saying, protecting the passer and running the ball.
Yeah, it's one of those things, it's like an umpire, right? You never notice the umpire when he's doing a good job. Is that the offensive line, is there a point of the game where you look up last week and you go, you know what, our guys are getting it done?
Yeah, I mean, well, and you can kind of see it, I think, more than like the umpire, just because, you know, the way the guys come off the ball, the line of scrimmage, what it looks like. And there was some times where Jake needed a little more time to get to the next, whatever, read, progression, especially a third down in the fourth quarter. He came back late to Hodgins, and we converted. The O-line did a great job of keeping the pocket clean.
The bootleg, watching Luton pull the ball and go around the end there, I smiled when I saw that. What'd you think watching that?
Yeah, I think we all were kind of smiling. Especially for him to be able to put together a 19-yard run, it was a blast. We actually showed that to the team the next day. You know, I kind of showed some plays from the game, and the guys got a kick out of that too.
You guys are so close to being 4-1, but you can't dwell on that, can you?
No, you really don't. I mean, you can't dwell on the previous game, win or lose. I mean, you got to learn from it, and move forward, and we got a lot of football left. I mean, we got more than half our season, and that's the focus.
Jonathan Smith is with us, Oregon State football coach. The drop kick, such a creative move and a smart move given where you're kicking from. Can you go through that? When did you sort of decide that was something you guys might use?
Yeah, Jake Cook is special teams coordinator. He's always looking for new ideas. He watches a lot of different teams, what they're doing on special teams. We got that from the NFL. It had been something we'd been working on for the last couple of weeks. You know, D-Rod, those guys got a bunch of time during practice when the offense, defense is working. And so we've had it in for a couple of weeks and thought the same scenario, like, hey, you kick it from the 50, let's try this. And obviously you're anticipating them trying to fair catch it. But even that, I mean, I don't think it's an easy ball to catch, especially for one of those upbacks who's not the normal returner. So
yeah,
we just thought it was worth taking a shot, and it got executed.
Yeah, because you get a guy who's he's in unfamiliar space, and a lot of coaches just kick that one out the back of the end zone. I just think that's a waste. Give yourself a shot.
You know, I mean, you kick it out of the end zone, they get on the 25. And, you know, if they would have fair caught what we did, they were getting a little better field position, closer to the 35, 30-yard line. So I just thought the risk-reward was definitely worth it, trying to steal a possession versus giving up 5-10 yards of field position.
I'm going to ask Kyle Whittingham this later. He's on the show later today. But, you know, every week I watch Isaiah Hodgins catch 10 passes and do what he does. How is it that is happening when the opposition obviously is watching film going, hey, you got to stop that guy?
Yeah, you know, it's just not that easy to do in regards to, well, if you're going to stop him, that means you're going to put double coverage on him, and then you're going to be a little short against the run, play a lot of one-on-one against everyone else with no help. And so, you know, you just got to kind of pick and choose how you defend people. And if you just all in on one receiver, there's a lot of things offensively you can do to counteract that.
Yeah, because if they're going to roll the coverage to him or they're going to say, all right, we're going to stop him, you feel like you've got the other guys in this offense that you can hurt people with.
You know, that's the hope. I mean, you're hoping to be balanced, and it's really run to pass. But then when you do have one wideout who's pretty, you know, successful, and you're going to get him the ball, you try to have compliments of running away from him, running the ball, putting him in a particular spot where you might get double coverage to attack the other part of the field.
Isaiah's a different kid. He's mature. He's obviously married. He's, you know, we have him on every week. And I didn't ask him this yesterday, but I want to ask you. It crosses my mind that are we watching him in his last season, or is he a kid that wants to come back? As a head coach, how do you handle that with him and with other players down the road that may have a decision to make?
Right. You know, I think, I think it's healthy to just be open and honest about it. Me and Hodge have talked about that. We actually talked about it going into the season. And ultimately, the conversation, he has time to decide. The only thing that can help him or even bring this conversation or decision up is by playing well. And that's how he's been approaching it, and he's playing really well. And so, you know, he'll be able to sit down with people he trusts after this season, kind of gather a ton of information, which will help him do, gather this information, and then make a call at that point. But nothing right now, you know, just the cluttering of his mind is going to help him to get to a point where he has a decision to make.
Jonathan Smith with us, Oregon State football coach. You watch Utah on film. I want to start with their front seven. What do they do with that front seven that has been problematic?
Man, you know, they let them play, and they play fast. I mean, these guys are physical. They're athletic, but also strong. They run a great scheme because it's not overly complicated. I mean, Coach Witt's been doing this thing for a long time. So it's not like they totally surprise you with what they're running defensively. They just got seven guys up front that create havoc around the passer. I mean, awesome against the run they've been this year. The athletic, physical, got some players and a solid scheme.
Is it tough for you, because they're coming off a bye and they were one of those teams that was real beat up going into it, is it tough to figure out personnel-wise what they will be on Saturday?
Well, it's tough to, because, you know, coaches keep things close to the vest for the most part on who's going to be available, who's not. You're not trying to give out that information, unless the guy's a long-term guy. At the same point, they're going to put a good group of 11 guys on the field in every phase. That's what you're preparing for.
He told me it's the same thing, you know, and I don't expect him to give away a state secret, but, you know, he says some to the effect of, you know, we're healthier, we got guys back. And then if you ask him, like, is Zach Moss going to play? Well, you know, we'll see how we look as kickoff approaches. But you're right. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get out of your guys when they are healthy, right? They're still college kids.
No question. Yeah, there's no question. They got life going on. And, I mean, look, like, some of the, like, I got a press conference on Monday. Well, we still have 3 days of practice. If a guy gets nicked, dinged, I'm not going to just offer up that information to our opponent. And so you find out some stuff on Saturday. Each week.
Can you think back of times maybe at one of your other coaching stops where, you know, I know coaches get paranoid, but how paranoid do coaches get when it comes to, hey, what does the opposition know? Or can you get too caught up in that rather than just focusing on yourself?
Yeah, you know, you're never trying to give an advantage to the opponent. And the more information they have, that's advantageous. And so you try to keep things within your own walls. At the same time, I'm realistic about it with, you know, social media. And I want people following our program. I want interest in the program. And so it's a balancing act. I think we got a nice system in place on how we give out information or answer questions. Since that's in place, the task is to focus on your opponent in preparation, and that's what I spend most of my time thinking about.
The big movie of the weekend was the Joker movie. I didn't see it. I don't like heavy movies like that. I'm not sure I'm going to see it. Where do you stand on heavy, serious movies that can be a little dark versus comedy?
Yeah, I'm probably leaning more toward the comedy. I do like dramas, I will say that. And I also will say I can't remember the last time I went to the movie theater. But I would prefer a comedy more than a dark.
Why do you? Why? What do you got against the movie theater?
Well, I got to get some time to do it. It's not like I don't enjoy it, but we got back here, I think, at 3 a.m. From that trip Saturday night, and the theater wasn't open.
Yeah, you're not going to do it during season, so it would have to be like a summer date night for the Smith household.
Yeah, it's definitely off season, and I do enjoy it. We get out, and the kids take them, or maybe just my wife. But it just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, we have two little kids, and we go to the movies. We're that family that's annoying everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm right there. My five-year-old, you know, needs popcorn, needs soda.
Yes.
And we're, I think the last one I went to is Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
And he was talking the whole time. There's Woody.
Yep.
Distraction.
And I'm like, you can't be doing that. And I'm looking around going, okay, we're that family. Jonathan Smith is with us, Oregon State football coach. All right. You got a chance here for a win streak. And, you know, I believe as I look back, the last time Oregon State won back-to-back games, Artavis Pierce was a freshman. So he knows what it's like. Did you feel like you guys took a step forward in learning how to win games against UCLA? And what would a win streak mean for you?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we learn each week, but I think we've learned that we're capable, very capable of playing four quarters. Because, yeah, we got off to the awesome start in that game. But it was still within 10 a couple of times in the second half, and we converted and executed and kept it at the margin to where we were winning throughout the game. So, yeah, I think our guys learned a ton that they're capable of doing it. I think each week is different, though, and this is definitely a different opponent. And we'd like to put something back-to-back.
All right, Coach, good luck to you. I will see you at Research Stadium on Saturday. Good luck.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right. There's Jonathan Smith, the Oregon State coach. Later in the show, you will hear from Kyle Whittingham. But up next, Mel Tucker, the Colorado coach. It's Coach Palooza on the BFT. Leave it right here. Super excited about our next guest. In part because I think he's the only Pac-12 coach I haven't had on the show. Mel Tucker, Colorado's head football coach, is joining us now. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I was looking for a photo of you because I wanted to tweet out Mel Tucker's coming on the show. All the pictures of you, you're yelling on the sideline.
Is that right? Well, give me your number. I'll text you.
Tag me. I need a smiling Mel Tucker. No, but you have that hard-nosed mentality and reputation that you bring that with you. And I don't know if you want to be smiling on the sideline. I don't know if, like, you know, if your fake smile on the sideline doesn't fly.
No, there's a time and a place for everything, but I really enjoy what I do. I enjoy working with these young men, and I haven't had a bad day since I've been in Boulder.
There you go. When you walk through the doors, and like Mario Cristobal at Oregon, probably everybody's expecting, oh, he's bringing the SEC mentality. What do people mean by that?
I just think people want to see physical, hard-nosed football, you know, really good defense, being able to run the ball on offense, and just be dominant in the trenches. I think that's what people really want to see.
You look at Oregon on film, what jumps out?
A great football team. I think they're very very balanced offense and defensively. They've got a senior laden team, a very strong offensive line. They run the ball on their terms. Excellent quarterback, an elite-level guy, first-round pick franchise-type guy. Running backs that fall forward on contact, the skilled guys that can make you miss in space, that can beat you over the top. Defense strong in the front seven, stops the run. They have some very good pass rushers, which great defenses have, and in the back end, they can play man, they can play zone, they're ball hawking, and they have a lot of fun, they play fast. So it's a very balanced football team. Coach Williams does a great job on special teams as well, and so we'll have to be at our best, certainly.
You're one of those guys that knows what it is to play on the playoff level, and you're in a conference that's been left out for 2 years. Is it a challenge to teach guys how to get to that level? Can you tell them about it? Yeah, or is it something they have to experience to know what it is?
Well, first and foremost, you know, there's a standard at which we have to perform, and we hold ourselves to that standard each and every day, and that standard is very high. And we have to coach to that level, we have to play at that level, and we have to recruit to that level. And you see these teams that are in the playoffs year in and year out, they have as good or better players than the people that they play against week in and week out, and that's recruiting. And so, when you get to that point where you have depth on both sides of the ball, you have four or five difference makers on each side of the ball. You're going to have the chance to play.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but If you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.